Welcome. There's a verse I wanted to share with all of you to start us this morning from John 14, verses 23. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and will come, and we will come to them and make our home with them." Let's pray. Jesus, we're here today as we remember Josh. Jesus, we invite you to come and be with us this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
We're going to have the chance this morning to hear from a few folks that were very close to Josh. And first, I'd like to ask Neil Anderson to come on up. He's going to share with us.
Down. I just wanted to start by saying how honored and privileged I am to be able to speak a few words on Josh's behalf, and how sorry I am to all his family and friends. Cancer is such a tragic life taker. I pray that one day there will be a cure for every kind of cancer. As I look back on the years I knew Josh, I can say this: he was one of the toughest people I have ever met in my life. There was a time when Josh commanded respect out of fear, but I am proud to say that the respect I have for Josh Monk doesn't come from fear at all. It comes from love. Josh has taught me a lot about love by his actions. He taught me that when we show for our Savior, when we show our love, he taught me that when we show our love for our Savior and assist him in his great work, when we seek the gift of charity through prayer and acts of kindness, that we can be transformed little by little to become more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our sensitivity and concern for those who might need our love will increase, and we will have the power to see beauty and goodness in the hearts of all the people in all other circumstances. We are all spirit children of our Heavenly Father, and as such, our brothers and sisters, as we keep this truth in mind, loving all of God's children will become easier. Joshua Monk displayed these Christ-like characters every day. I want to share with you a story. A few years ago, I believe it was 2010, I got a phone call from Josh. I hadn't heard from him for a while, and to tell you the truth, I was a little worried about what he wanted. He asked me if I was working. I wasn't at the time. I had just gotten out of prison again and was going through a divorce. I needed finances in a bad way so I could get my child support paid up and other few things I needed to take care of. On that phone call, Josh asked me that famous question. He said, "Have you heard the good news?" And I said, "No, what's that?" And he said, "That God loves you." I smiled to myself and thought, "Who is this guy and what did he do with Josh Monk?" He told me he had a big side job and could use a hard worker, so I agreed and committed to helping him. He said the job would take 4 or 5 days. I had been praying to find work. The next morning when Josh came to pick me up, he wrapped his arms around me, gave me a huge hug, and told me that he was sorry for anything he had ever done to hurt me, and that he loved me and hoped I could find it in my heart to forgive him. I said, "Of course I could. I know better than to hold a grudge against Josh." For the next hour, Josh bore his testimony to me of the love he had for his Savior and all the wonderful miracles that were happening in his life. There was such a humble, sweet presence of the Spirit there that day. I truly saw a transformed being in front of me. I had never seen Josh this happy and smiling. We prayed together and went to work. We worked 2 long days and finished. When he was dropping me off, he said, "So how much money do you want?" And I said, $300 is more than enough for 2 days. And he smiled, handed me a wad of cash, and said, thanks for your hard work, and drove off. As I began to count the money, it counted out to be $1,350. Tears came to my eyes because I was praying so much for this help. This was such a testament to me of the miracle that had happened in Josh's life, and that the Lord does use the faithful to do his work on this earth. When Christ was on the earth, he loved all people with a perfect love. Even after wicked men scourged him and nailed him to a cross, he pleaded, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Sometimes we, as imperfect beings, find it difficult to love others because we are human. It is not always easy to see other people as the Savior does. Josh has shown me that through prayer and striving to follow the Savior's example of performing acts of love towards others, that we are changed by the power of the Holy Ghost to become more like the Savior. And we then receive the power to see others through the Savior's eyes. Josh has showed me these Christ-like attributes in his character daily. I know for a fact my life wasn't the only one blessed by Joshua Monk. Josh wholeheartedly turned his life over to his Savior. He served God and his fellow man to the best of his ability. And in doing so, I know he discovered a richness and fullness to life that the selfish or egotistic will never experience. He gave unselfish gifts of himself. I would like to ask that everybody stand up if they ever worked with Josh. Now stand if Josh has ever prayed for you or with you. If he's ever spent time listening to you or gave you a soft word of encouragement or a gentle act of caring. These acts of kindness are what changes hearts and lives. I challenge us all to do what we can to let Josh's legacy live on. Rest in peace, my brother. You're loved and missed.
Thank you, Neil. Bryce Young.
Yeah, have me talk right after everybody stood up. You know, I had to really stay in prayer this week because when Amanda asked me to do this, I didn't feel worthy. Because I know that a lot of people, I'm not the only one who was affected by Josh. And there's a lot of men, and there's a lot of women, and there's a lot of kids that knew Josh a lot longer than I did. And that's where I didn't feel worthy, and I had to stay prayed up, because without God and without prayer, then I'm going to try and stand up here and say something that nobody else has said over the last 2 weeks. And over the last 2 weeks, everybody's hit everything. There's nothing left to say. Without being prayed up, then I'm going to stand up here and try and say the greatest words that were ever spoken at a funeral ever. But it's because of Josh that I got to know God, and then I got to know prayer, and I got to know his son Jesus. And by staying prayed up, it finally hit me this morning that I can only share what I know and what I experienced. And at this point, and over the last few weeks, it's been really hard for me to separate Jesus from Josh. And I'm saying that not to say that Jesus was Josh or that Josh was Jesus, but it just goes back to the time in my life where I knew Josh first. Josh showed me Jesus, and I met Josh through a show, through Outlaw Country, and when I accepted that job, I do freelance production until recently. And when I accepted that show, it was just like every other job I've ever accepted. I get a call, I get a job offer, and I say yes because I got bills to pay, you know. And I had no idea what I was necessarily getting myself into, and I show up where you need to show up. And in fact, that morning I met Josh, I was a little irritated because I had to drive an hour out of my way only to come back right here. And I live 5 minutes away. This building I've never seen before. And so it was like, why didn't they just have me come here first? It could have saved me an hour. But my job on the show was to take notes, and it was anytime anybody said anything, I was supposed to jot it down. Anything the camera sees, I'm supposed to take notes. And the scene we shot, I'm sitting right there to the side, and the scene was Josh leading a men's group. And there's guys in this church that were in that scene. And these guys were talking about being hopeless, being broken, being drug addicts, being alcoholics, living in recovery houses. And I knew that that was me. Because I know what it feels to be broken. I know what it feels to be an alcoholic, and I know what it feels to be a drug addict, and I know what it means to have a family and not even really love them. And we shot that scene, and I don't think a single word went by me. I jotted everything down, whether it was important or not. And I remember springing up from my chair because the scene was over, and I'm like, man, did anybody else feel that? Anybody? But then the director and the producer are off doing their jobs. The cameramen are setting something else up, and they just moved on, and I'm like, wow, that was amazing. But it was just for me, I think. A couple nights later, we're getting ready to shoot a scene where a director handed this dude $500 to take a punch. We're outside Rob Kibben's place, and the director gives this guy $500 to take a punch, and that was Outlaw Country. You know what I mean? But then that same night, Amanda comes up to me, and Amanda can correct me if I'm telling this story. I've been telling the story wrong if I'm wrong the whole time. But she comes up to me and says, Josh really does that. And I try and play it cool, like, oh, yeah, you know, I can relate a little bit. I can relate. Yeah, it's cool. You know, I'm sure he does. That's awesome. I try and play it cool, but when Amanda leaves, I knew that I was coming here Sunday to see Josh again. And I can tell you now that God got my attention the only way he knew how, and that was through a TV show. And God used Josh to get to me. Josh entered my life when I needed someone like that the most. And to think that it started with the scene in this church where he stood there and talked to guys. And they're sharing their lives with one another. And I really don't mean to speak for other people, but I know that I'm not the only person that came to know God through Josh. I know that. And that's something that we can all stand firm in, dude, you know? Like, we all have that in common. Anybody you prayed over, if you said something awesome during Bible school, then we can all stand firm in that. We can all share those stories that we have with Josh. And if the last few weeks taught me anything, it's that Josh was a gift from God. He showed me and thousands of others over the years what we can strive to be while we're here on earth. Josh was a lot of things, and many of them have been said over the last couple weeks. Like I said at the beginning, it's hard for me sometimes to separate Jesus from Josh, considering Josh entered my life first. Some of the attributes that we describe Jesus through the Word of God is powerful, effective, fierce, a friend, and all those things can be said about Josh too. Josh was an example of Jesus here on earth. But what I also came to realize is that the effective power that Josh has is in all of us. And personally, and this is me not speaking for anyone else, it's speaking for me, but it is my responsibility. And I owe it to God and Josh to begin to figure out what responsibility means. With what Josh showed us, it's my responsibility to show that to someone else. And for each of us, if we feel that responsibility too, we should all recognize that it's going to look a little different. My responsibility and the things that I can take from Josh are going to look different than someone else's. And I don't even know what that really even looks like yet, but I want to be effective, and I want to be fierce, and I want to be powerful, and I want to do that for Josh. It says multiple times in Scripture about when our lives are over, we're going to be held accountable for how we lived. And I'd read that before, and it was something that Josh taught me. And it's something that when I've read over the last few weeks, I really don't want to be blasphemous, and this is just my human brain trying to grasp something. But I believe that to be true, that we give an account for our lives when our lives are over. And I know for a fact, I don't know it for a fact, I take that back. When I think about that now and when I think about what Josh did, when I would hear giving an account for our life, I would think that we're standing there like there's gates and Jesus has like a list of the good things that we did, the bad things, and the indifferent things that he's going to tell us, and we're going to be held accountable for that. But it wasn't until the last couple weeks where I think about that, and I don't think that's the way it is at all. Because I think, you know, if there's gates, imagine gates, just... I think Josh stood firm in the things that he did here. And I don't think a word had to be said at all. Because if he gave his account to Jesus, Jesus knew what Josh did. And I think it was on Josh's face that no words ever had to be said. Because Jesus knew what he did for us, and what he did for me, and what he did for people all over the years. And so I think my theory on giving an account for our lives is going to be different, because I don't think Josh had to say anything. And maybe we won't either. I don't know, but that's... No words have to be said for what Josh did, because he stood firm in what he did for us. He knew, and Jesus knew what he did for us. What he did for me, what he did for others. And no words have to be said about that. It was on his face, man, you know? But I thank you, Josh, for changing my life, and in turn you changed my life, which then got God in my family, in my marriage, and with my kids. And my kids are going to be able to say they know God because I knew God and because I knew Josh. And for the rest of time, that is just going to continue. And that's the effect that Josh had on everybody. That's it.
Thank you, Bryce. I'm going to ask John Monk to come up.
I didn't really write out anything too big. I just wrote down some things I want to touch on because I didn't know how I was going to be reacting up here. But this has just been really crazy for me. And, you know, I guess I just wanted to start off with talking about, you know, me and Josh and, you know, having a brother 13 months apart from you, you know, your first friend, you know, the first friend that you ever had, you know, the one that understands you, you know, no matter how crazy my thoughts can get, and the crazy ideas that I had in my warped mind sometimes, Josh always understood me and could relate. You know, when you're that close and just the bond, if you have a brother that's that close, you can't even understand if you don't. You know, just the person that's always there, that's always been there, that you know is going to tell you the truth. No matter if it's going to hurt your feelings or not, but he's going to tell you the truth. You know, when you talk about a brother like that, you're talking about somebody, you know, we got into some crazy situations, but my brother was always right, and I was always right. Even if he was wrong, he was right, and we'll talk about it later. But, he's right. You know, I mean, that's just how it is when you got a brother like that, you know? You know, our life together was pretty crazy. You know, I mean, we went through some stuff in our childhood. But there was never a dull moment with Josh. You know, we always had fun together, no matter what. We were always close. And that closest, it never really separated. We were always together. We were never separated. You know, we always talked. We always hung out. You know, I mean, I remember when he came to work at Kingpin, and we developed this new family of us and our friends. And, you know, it's the tight-knit family that we had with our friends that most people don't have. I mean, it's just crazy because all those people are still here, and they're still, you know, like a lot of people switch up friends and they got new friends. And this is like the friends that we had from that tattoo shop are all still, you know, my family and my best friends, you know. And I mean, it was, we had crazy times there, and Josh was kind of a maniac sometimes, but you know, it was so good, and I feel so blessed to have, you know, Josh as a brother. I mean, I couldn't ever ask for a better brother than Joshua Monk. You know, and I mean, come on, we got to film a TV show together. You know, I mean, they're making a TV show about me and Josh. You know, I mean, how cool is that? You know, like, that's something that you know, that I'll never forget, and it'll always be around, you know, and I'll get to watch. You know, so, I mean, the time that me and we spent a lot of time together during that, and you know, Josh was an amazing person. You know, I mean, I was thinking of some of the qualities that I really admired about my brother. You know, the boldness, the cheerfulness, his commitment, his compassion, his confidence, his determination and discipline. You know, the forgiveness that Josh had. You know, the faith that Josh had. Josh's faith was insane. You know, there was never a question of anything with Josh. You know, faith is definitely not one of my spiritual gifts. Like, I like to question a lot of stuff, but my brother would be like, no, John, that's, it says it here, that's what it is. You know, he freaking, you know, that's how Josh was. You know, like, he spent so much time with the Lord that he had no questions. You know, like, it was, this is how it is, John. You know, you can, you know, like, you just, you can't, I don't know. The main quality that I really admired about my brother Josh was his authenticity. Josh didn't just talk about it. Josh was about whatever he said, and that's how he was. That's how he lived his life. When we were doing weird things, he was all about it, you know? And then when we were doing good things, he was all about it. You know, the last 8 years of Josh's life really blew my mind. Watching him go from this dude that was always calling me, John, get up here, you know, or being out and, John, this guy said this, come handle this, you know, I'm like, oh, Josh, I know it didn't happen, but I'm gonna handle it anyway, you know. But the transformation of all the hatred in his heart to the love and compassion was amazing. I mean, it just, it blew me away that, like, my little brother, the dude that everybody just ran from, that was scared of, that I watched him knock out countless people time after time, went from this dude that loved everybody and loved his daughter so much, you know, and his wife. You know, I mean, it just blew my mind when I would talk to him how much love was in his heart You know, and, you know, when all this happened, man, I remember getting the phone call. I was at the parade with my kids, and Amanda called me. And I went over there, you know, and I told Josh, I said, man, I'm going to ride this out to the end with you, buddy. And he said, well, I got to be buddy. I never been buddy before. Don't ever call me buddy again. I said, I've been hanging out with Rob Kimmins too much. You know, he calls everybody buddy. But, you know, through all that, and Amanda made a good point to me the last, you know, 3 weeks, I believe it was, that every day he was still leading me. You know, he was still teaching me. He was still giving me advice. Josh wasn't scared for himself. Josh was scared for me, Amanda, and his kid. He knew what was going to happen. He knew where he was going to go. He had no doubt in his mind what was coming. You know, and when I talk about everybody praying for a miracle, everybody praying for a miracle, you know, everyone to heal, everyone in their will. Everybody wanted their will. They wanted God to heal Josh. And the craziest thing happened because, you know, I'm praying for a miracle too. You know, I don't know if God heard my prayers as loud and clear as he heard Bob's and all you guys's, but, you know, I was praying for a miracle. I don't want to see my brother here. You know, I mean, it's still real hard for me. You know, I'm looking at him and I just think he's going to freaking wake up. You know, but a miracle did happen. Amanda called me and she goes, you know, I need to take a nap. I've been up this whole time. You know, can you handle this? I'm like, yeah, I can handle this, of course. So in the last time, me and Josh, I was working on this painting and me and my brother, he's sitting in his bed and I was working on a painting and I had a two-hour-long conversation with him like it was 5 years ago when it wasn't physically possible. When it wasn't physically possible for Josh to have a conversation like that. And we talked about everything. We talked about from when we were kids to now and what's going to happen. And I guess the bottom line to it is everybody's praying for a healing. Well, God did heal Josh. Josh is healed right now. You know, he might not have got healed the way that I wanted him to get healed. And that was a lot of my prayer. You know, I said, you know, God, everybody's like, pray for God's will. Okay, well, I'm pretty selfish. And I want him here. But that wasn't God's will. And he is healed. He's in heaven. And, you know, this is just still mind-blowing to me. You know, I thought that it'd be the other way around in this situation. You know, but the last 3 weeks I got with my brother were amazing. You know, I mean, he was telling me crazy stories that I didn't even remember. And I'm like, yeah, how are you remembering this, man? You know, but a lot of miracles and blessings did happen. Josh was Josh till the day he left. Josh was Josh, you know. And for me to be able to spend that time with him was amazing, you know. It was amazing. You know, I'm not going to draw this out, so I'm going to talk about a song I picked out for Josh because that was a hard one, you know. I didn't know what to do, if I should play a song from me to Josh, and that's what I was going to do. But I wanted to pick out a song that I felt like was Josh's message, what Josh did. You know, I mean, all the wonderful stuff and people that he touched and what his message, you know. Josh was a very black and white type of guy. There was no gray area in his life. I mean, that was just him. It's either right or wrong. There's no gray area. No compromise. You know, you're either going to do right or you're going to do wrong. You're going to be who God wants you to be or you're not. Period, bottom line. That was my brother. And, you know, I just feel very blessed that is how hard this is, you know, that God allowed Joshua James Monk to be my brother.
Josh was the most loyal friend that I've ever had. He was very easy to trust. He was very easy to respect. He was very easy to love. And I'm going to shoot straight with you guys. I know a lot of Christians that aren't very loyal, that aren't easy to trust, that aren't easy to love. Josh really, he really bought into that verse that I read here at the beginning, John 14:23. He really loved Jesus, and because he really loved Jesus, he obeyed Jesus. He was serious about that, and that opened his heart up to God's life, to God living through him. Bob and I and Josh have been preaching together for a while. On Sundays, typical Sunday, we would all three preach together. And so we'd have to plan together. And just a couple months ago, Bob and I and Josh were meeting. And I asked Josh, "Josh, what's the next thing you want to preach about?" And we were planning out for right about this time of year. And Josh said, "I want to preach out of Luke 15. And so I've been reading Luke 15 a lot. And it has three parables, three stories from Jesus that talk to us about God. And all three stories have a similar theme of something or someone gets lost, and then God searches for that. And when God finds that lost one, then God celebrates. And the biggest parable in Luke 15 is the parable of the prodigal son. And it, I think it parallels Josh's life, and it explains why did he have such a good hold on Jesus these last 8 years? The parable of the prodigal son, the son goes to his dad and he says, "Dad, I want all of my inheritance. I don't care that you're still alive. I want it all." And he takes everything from his family and he runs far away and he squanders everything that his father has given him, and he ruins himself. He despairs. And for those of, I mean, we all know Josh's story. We know that there were times when Josh despaired of even living, where he hit rock bottom and didn't want to even live anymore. The prodigal son hits that rock bottom and he makes a choice. And it's very similar to a choice that Josh made about 8 years ago. Josh thought he was maybe on his deathbed about 8 years ago. I want to read you what the prodigal son did. Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 20. "So the prodigal son got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And so they began to celebrate." Think for a moment about how that would feel to be that prodigal son, to realize what a mess you've made of things, and then to go begging for a little bit of help, and to have the one in authority over you wrap their arms around you and not just give you a little bit of help, but shower you with good things, accept you, and to cover you with good things. About 8 years ago, Josh reached out for God, and just like in the story, God ran to Josh. And God wrapped his arms around Josh and changed Josh's life. Several months back, I got to be with Josh at the chapel at KU Medical Center. It was right just moments before his first brain surgery, And anytime people are going to be literally cutting on your brain, I mean, that's a very scary moment. So Josh and I were talking one-on-one, and Josh said to me, when I gave my life to Jesus, he said 7 years ago, because this was a little while ago, he said, when I gave my life to Jesus 7 years ago, I meant it. And my life is his. And then, then he told me that God didn't owe him anything. And he said, God has given me a wonderful wife and an incredible relationship with her. He's given me an awesome relationship with my daughter. He's made me a pastor at the church that I love. I have a TV show. I mean, and then he started to list all these things. I know later he talked to me about God blessed him with this amazing brother. In that moment, Josh was able to say, God didn't owe me anything. What person has a heart like that right before brain surgery when they're 40 years old? It's a person who was like the prodigal son and didn't expect to get what they got from God. You see, Josh really understood how much God loved him. And that's why Josh was so much in love with God. And he didn't just say he was in love with God. He obeyed Jesus. And that's why Jesus' life was so full in Josh. Bob is going to talk to us here in just a second about the celebration part of these stories. But I know Josh would want two things for us today. He would want us to be comforted, but he would challenge us. And the challenge I know Josh wants each of us to face, each of us ourselves, is how am I going to respond to God? God offers us the same love that he's given to Josh. Are we going to respond with half steps like the average person does? Or are we going to be totally sold out for Jesus? Josh's life these last 8 years has been defined by giving over everything to Jesus. See what Jesus did with it. Josh was not a normal person. The best thing about Josh is the way that he loved so authentically, like John said. He was real. As we look at Josh and think about all Josh put into us, and like Bryce said, we owe it to let those seeds that he put in us grow, to follow that example. Bob.
Neil, thank you for your words, and Bryce for yours, and John for yours, and Jake for yours. There are a lot of big men, and I happen to be a big guy myself, who've done a lot of crying the last few days, okay? And I have learned in my life, I make my living with my mouth. I have learned in my life the most eloquent words are the tears that come out of my eyes, okay? So all you big guys with me, we honor Josh with our tears, with our sad hearts. And every time we tell a story and we have to go grab another Kleenex, we just say, okay, Josh, you're worth that, okay? So I want to thank you all. And I was looking around while different people have been speaking. Everybody's got a story. Everybody's got 100 stories. Josh touched us. I don't know how many people were here last night, but it was, a giant crowd, and they were here. Wonderful tribute. A couple of Sundays ago when Josh was here, another wonderful tribute to him. I so was blessed by two things. Number one, the standing ovation you all gave Josh and Amanda. That was huge. I was also blessed by the prayer that Josh prayed for us. And Josh prayed a prayer thanking God for giving people second chances. Okay? And so God's offering second chances. You don't want to miss it. When a prodigal son came home, he got welcomed by the father. When a prodigal son, Josh Monk, came home 8 years ago, he was welcomed by his father. When he went home the other day, he was welcomed by his father. You know, we have all these church jokes about St. Peter meeting you at the Golden Gate, you know, all that stuff. He wasn't met by St. Peter. He was met by the Lord himself. And God said, well done, my good and faithful servant. What's it like to be in heaven? I'm going to take just a second. What's it like to be in heaven? You think of the greatest vacation you've ever been on, and heaven is a million times better, and you don't have to come back and go to work the next week. All right? I thought about the 8 years the Lord has had with Josh and Josh has had with him. And so we always do a little walking here. Can you imagine God walking with him every day? And then it came the other day out of hospice house for Josh's life to end. God did not say, hey, it was a nice ride, Josh. See you later. What did God do? God took him by the hand and said, now, walk with me into heaven. So that's what he's up to. The best thing about heaven, a couple of things. One, he has a new body. John had a dream that God gave him, and God does that, John, all the time. He has a new body. It's just perfect. There's no hospital beds in heaven. There's no oxygen. There's no chemotherapy. There are no surgeons. I mean, there may be some surgeons in heaven. They just don't do surgery. Okay? He's got that. He has a perfect body. I have no idea what a perfect body's like. He had a pretty good one on earth. He's got a better one in heaven. It's perfectly suited for heaven. The Apostle Paul tells us that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. He's there. Okay? Best thing about heaven is God's there. It's really interesting. Josh became a lover of Jesus Christ. And Neil, thank you for that, wow, powerful word. And Bryce and Jake and John, thank you for that, just highlighting that. He became a lover of the Lord. The one that he loved, he now sees. It's like, in my mind, he breathed the oxygen of God, and he is right now in heaven, breathing who God is, his love, his grace, his kindness, his goodness. That's a part of his life, okay? How long does it last? It lasts forever. Josh and I, or John and I, excuse me, I've called you Josh about a million times the last 2 weeks. John and I were talking up at the funeral home as we were making some plans, and we were talking about how's it like to be in heaven for a day? You know, what do you see? What's going on? And then the thought hit me, and this is the first thought. I have a lot of thoughts, but this was the first time it hit me. You know, there's never a bad day in heaven. There's never a day when you wake up in heaven and say, oh, gee, I've been here another day in heaven. Big deal. You never have that. Every day is fresh and new and creative and wonderful for the rest of all of eternity. And just as Josh's life was transformed 8 years ago and became the guy that so many of us love and appreciate, his life's transformed the other day into the next phase of all eternity. Okay? So I'm going to stop with that. I could say a whole lot more, but I want to say this to us. Amanda, I cannot imagine there being a better wife for a guy at any time, but especially during this time. Okay? And Kenley, you're a doll. And you have been a wonderful, bright spot in your dad's life. And I've told this to John, out of sight brother. I told him a little bit ago about the brother of the century. You have been a great guy for your brother. And the rest of you all, there's a whole host of people, Connie, and I can't name all the names. Y'all have been a great, great support. And you know you have. All the way from raising funds, from being in the hospital and sitting with the family, to praying, to supporting, to helping. You'll keep on doing that. All of us grieve, and we can grieve and still have all the good things that we've just said today. They go together. And so when you do grieve, and when your heart is broken, and when you grab a box of Kleenex and say, I'm going to use this whole thing right here at this table, and I'm not moving until it's gone, when you do all of that, just say, Josh, you're worth it. You're worth this hurt in my heart. And God's going to help you through it, and you're going to help each other through it. Be as good to each other as you can, all right? So with that, we're going to conclude our service. I'm going to have prayer. We have another song to sing, which is Amanda's song. No. Is this the last one? Huh? It's the one Josh likes. Okay. So we're going to have that. And then our funeral director is going to come, and they'll give us direction from there. Okay? Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for doing what you've done in Josh's life. Lord, we thank you for giving him birth. We thank you for those childhood pictures that we could look at. We thank you for the young adult things, snapshots that we saw. And Lord, we thank you for your entering into his life 8 years ago and giving him the life that he has always wanted and found and enjoyed. And Lord, we thank you for heaven. We thank you that about 30 seconds into heaven, Josh was a bigger authority than any of us ever thought about being. Thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for good memories. We thank you for people who have supported this family over the last 9 months. Lord, we thank you for Amanda and Kenley and John and Connie and others. We ask your grace upon us. We pray for your help and we pray for your support. We pray for your strength. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll be right back.
down and out, and it feels like there's no way out.